Well, hello and welcome. I'm Brendan Paulu, and with me now to talk about the coronavirus across all of our stations in British Columbia is none other than the Premier, John Horgan. John, how are you today?
Good morning, Brendan. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So I guess we're going to get right into it here with the very first question of our interview. I think it's on a lot of people's minds is with the easing of the rules coming at some point, which ones do you believe will come first? And which ones do you think will come last?
Well, that's a very good question, and one that is difficult for me to answer. I don't want to skate too much around the rink here on these. I'll say that today, as you may be aware, the new modeling data will be delivered by Dr. Bonnie Henry and Minister Dix that shows that we have been flattening the curve in British Columbia. The actions of people across the province have helped to reduce the outbreak. We're still seeing new cases. We're seeing a reduction in hospitalizations, which is great. That's been happening over the past 10 days or so. And those are the signals we were looking for so that we can start to see the end of the tunnel. But we do have a distance to go, and Dr. Henry's going to be pretty clear on that. We can't let up now. We need to celebrate the success that we've had, but also focus on making sure that we can continue to get that curve down so that we can start to reintegrate into some sense of normalcy. Where we'll start will really be dictated by the numbers. So the science from behind those numbers. What we've been trying to do from the start, Brendan, is to ensure that we had safe workplaces. We did not want to see a complete shutdown of the province. Others have used the language of lockdown and so on. But when you go to those jurisdictions, whether they're here in Canada or the U.S. or in Europe, the list of exemptions gets to be several pages long. So what's characterized as essential changes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. So what we tried to focus on was what sectors of the economy can we continue to operate safely based on input from the public health office, from WorkSafe BC, making sure that workers and employers were comfortable and confident that they could continue to operate. Some construction sites were appropriate, other construction sites not, for example. So it will be the same process as we start to build back to a sense of normalcy. What sectors will be first? We'll see. I don't want to predict that today. I don't want to give false hope to people. But we are certainly seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. And if we continue to focus on the directions we're getting from the health office and British Columbians continue to support overwhelmingly, making sure that we don't come back too soon to give up all of the sacrifices that people have made.
Are there any numbers on how this is impacting the economy? And are there any plans to reimburse communities impacted by a loss of revenue from things such as transit, casinos, or airports?
Yeah. Well, again, we all depend on those revenues, all orders of government, federal, provincial, and municipal, regional districts as well, school boards. And so we're going to be in a whole new world. And I think people need to start thinking in those terms. We've been saying from the start that these circumstances are unprecedented, and they're not just in British Columbia. It's important that we remind ourselves that we're in this with our neighbors in Alberta, our neighbors in the United States, and our trading partners around the world. And even if we are in a better place than others, if our trading partners are not purchasing our goods, that will have a negative impact on our economy. When it comes to revenues, parking revenues, the rentals from the hockey rink, tolls on buses and so on, the fare box revenues that were shared around, casino money, of course. Gaming grants are going to be affected by this. A whole bunch of things are going to be affected by this. And we're going to be rebuilding how we deliver services based on the revenues that we have and the demand in communities. And the demand is going to be higher when we come out of this than it was when we went in. These are challenges that we're preparing for right across government. And the good news for your listeners is that Canada and BC and all of the other provinces are working cooperatively in a way that I think has never been seen before, certainly not in my lifetime. I'm a student of history. I've been elected for 15 years, and the level of cooperation across the country really speaks to the resilience of Canadians and the understanding whatever your politics are, whatever your regional differences are, none of that really matters. If one of us is suffering, we all need to lend a helping hand. That's what it means to be Canadian, and we're seeing that in spades not just in politics, but in community activities as well. People helping people, it's really inspiring.
Now, some prisoners have been let out early due to this coronavirus. Do you believe this is something that should continue?
Well, we're concerned about federal penitentiaries. A significant outbreak in Mission, the federal correctional institution there, one fatality yesterday. And we were not getting information in a timely way from the federal institution there. There's nine in Canada, or pardon me, nine federal penitentiaries in British Columbia. And so we've been engaging with the federal government. We have better protocols in place now, just as we did on border crossings, just as we did on people coming back, snowbirds flying into Vancouver and Kelowna until we stop those flights. We're working cooperatively across jurisdiction. These are areas of federal responsibility. But as you know, your listeners don't care who's responsible. They just want to make sure that something responsible is done. I believe releasing people before they've served their time is not the best way forward. But we also want to take into consideration the health and well-being, and not just of those that are incarcerated, but those who oversee them, correctional officers and others. We want to make sure that we're protecting people's well-being. And there are many ways to do that. Releasing people's but one. And I think that should be a last resort.
Now, besides the densely populated areas, what is the province's plan to allocate medical resources to these smaller, more rural communities, should an outbreak actually occur in a smaller center?
Well, we've been very fortunate to have the various health authorities, the Island Health, Coastal and Fraser Health in the Lower Mainland, Northern Health from Quesnel up to the border, up to the Yukon, and Interior Health in Kamloops and through into the Kootenays. All of the health authorities have been working in a coordinated way. We've been making sure that protective equipment, PPE as it's called, is distributed evenly and equitably across the various health authorities. We're making sure that people have the resources they need. Northern Health has been just spectacular. A small number of cases, but concern in the north, rightly so, in isolated communities, that if there is an outbreak, access to services can be, in many cases, hours and hours away, even by air. So we're making sure that we are providing the resources that people need in the event of an outbreak, and hopefully we won't have to test that theory.
Now, John, you met recently with Justin Trudeau and the other premiers across Canada in regards to this fluid situation. One topic that has come up is the Federal Emergencies Act that Justin Trudeau has considered implementing at some point. I guess the better question for you is, why are you among many of the premiers that are opposed to this implementation? And I guess, what is the consensus among the other premiers in regards to this?
Well, I think the consensus, it's near unanimity. There are a couple of premiers who are in a different situation than we are here on the coast, of course. We've been fortunate that we got onto this early, and I think we'll see the results of that with Dr. Henry's modeling today. But my appeal to the Prime Minister was fairly straightforward. We've seen, as I said in the earlier part of the interview, unprecedented cooperation across Canada. Jason Kenney in Alberta and I are working together very cooperatively. We have a very positive relationship. If you had asked me a year ago, was that going to happen? I think your listeners, almost to a person, would have suggested that wasn't likely to happen. And so that what uniform you wear, whether you're Liberal, Conservative, New Democrat, all of that's been put aside, and focusing on how do we work together is the top priority. And my appeal to the Prime Minister was, we have emergency legislation in every province. We deliver services to people. If we need your help, come and help us. But don't impose over top of the restrictions that we've already announced new restrictions. That will lead to confusion with the public. Who's in charge? Whose rules are paramount? I think that we need to have a set of rules in the province and in other provinces, and they need to be followed. And the federal government should be there to help, not to impose different restrictions. And that was the view of the majority of premiers, save for one or two who saw a benefit to having more resources delivered. If the federal government wants to come to British Columbia and help with resources, they're welcome to come. I just don't think they should come with new restrictions on British Columbians when we're already trying to make sure that people hold fast to the ones that are in place now.
Now, my last question for you before I let you go is, has the government thought about when things could start to reopen? And is there a plan in place on things for this to be worked on? Because as I'm sure you're aware already, you've seen other provinces like Saskatchewan start to look at the preliminary stages in terms of when things could potentially reopen there. Are you following those situations, and how are you kind of looking at things here in the province?
Oh, yeah, we're looking at other jurisdictions here in Canada and around the world. And we've been doing that from the start, actually, Brendan. We put in place a cross-government approach to this. The science will direct us. The science, in terms of where we are in flattening the curve, will be where we come up with when can we start to lift restrictions, when can we start to see a return to normal. And we'll wait for that to happen. It's not happening today. It's not happening next week. But we've been working on a phased-in approach, sector by sector. We established a recovery task force a few weeks back that consists of big business through the BC Business Council. Those would be the large employers, forestry, mining, natural gas, agriculture, those types of big, big employers, the BC Chamber of Commerce, the Boards of Trade in Surrey and Vancouver, two large boards of trade, Federation of Labor, nonprofits that deliver services to people, Indigenous groups. We brought all of these people on a task force, and we're going sector by sector based on whose ministerial responsibilities are first and foremost, to talk to people about how ready they are to make sure that they have safe workplaces. It won't be a magic, look, we've reached a number and now we can open things up as before. It will be quite different. And it will take, again, another level of cooperation that's unprecedented in BC and in Canada. But I'm confident, based on how people have worked together, despite the hardships that this has been creating for businesses, for employees, for social agencies, for communities. People have been working hard, and I look to education as a symbol. We've signed a collective agreement with the BC Teachers Federation, not yet ratified, but I'm confident it will be. So the level of cooperation between teachers, school boards, superintendents, parents, about what would be the best way to continue to provide education services for our children, the distance learning, the virtual learning that's going on now being developed will put us in good stead. And when we're ready, I think that might be a good first signal that education is back to normal. But we're not there yet. And it will come as a result of cooperation and discussion. And that's what we've been doing in every sector, whatever it might be. And I think if we all remain patient and focused on not giving up the ground that we've gained here, it's a football sports metaphor, but you know, you don't want to lose 5 yards after you've just gained six. You want to keep moving down the field. You want to keep making progress. And that's what Dr. Henry's data will show today, that we have made progress. But we've got a little bit of distance to go yet.
Well, lastly, I would like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us on this crisis. And I hope we can do this sometime again soon, John.
I appreciate it, Brendan. I enjoyed talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And to all your listeners, have a good weekend.
All right. You too, sir. This has been a special presentation by Vista Radio. I'm Brendan Paulduke.